Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Dear Mr. Johnson, we're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused, and the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat, not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky, and while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of American Exposé, the Monday edition of the broadcast, July 18th, 2005, and we're pleased that you're joining us again as we start off another work week for most of us. For others, we have such messed up schedules that it really doesn't matter when the week starts and when it ends. But thanks for being with us tonight. Wasn't able to do the Friday broadcast last week because it's been a very busy week. We had a problem at work. For those of you who are unaware, I work a full-time job in addition to everything else. And we had a problem with our commercial playback system at work. And so I spent the last 4 days locating spots on one-hour archive reels and editing them together to make commercial breaks. So it's very slow going. That's what we call doing television the old-fashioned way. And so that's the way it goes. Hopefully it'll be up and running this week and everything will be back to normal. A lot of things going on. We have the Central American Free Trade Agreement being debated right now in Congress. We're going to be getting into that a little bit. Also, the information keeps coming out about the London bombings. And this is just another September 11th Hegelian dialectic scenario as they create the crisis so that they can bring about change, institute their control upon you folks. And we have a president who's being told, who's telling the American people that we're sending our military troops around the world to fight the terrorists abroad so that we don't have to face them here at home. And yet, what did the people of London experience but terrorism at home? And every war that the federal government declares, we get more of what they declare war on. For instance, the war on drugs, we get more drugs. The war on terrorism, we get more terrorism. War on crime, war on poverty, we get more of everything that they declare war of. The United Nations, supposedly a peacekeeping organization, and yet what we have today is our military being the police, the global police cop around the world. We have military bases being closed under the base realignment and closure program here in the United States. Military bases are being closed here, even as they're opened up abroad. Now, for what reason do we have this going on, ladies and gentlemen? We're supposed to be protecting. We have a homeland security program that's supposed to be keeping us secure. And yet we have a flood of immigrants coming into this country, undocumented workers. And the borders are porous. These people are pouring in. And we have the situation with Costco, the China Ocean Shipping Company. They have 600 ships, and at least one of them, they call upon the U.S. ports every single day, shipping all of this, these goods over from China that you Americans buy at Walmart and Target and various other stores. Now, in these containers, 98%, according to Roger Canfield in his book China's Trojan Horses, 98% of these containers are uninspected coming in from communist China. Now, what could communist China be shipping over to this country? And yet, we're supposed to be having homeland security. China has, this past week, threatened to use nuclear weapons against the United States. We're going to be covering that as well. But first of all, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. William Jasper writes, the Central American Free Trade Agreement would not only destroy more U.S. jobs and businesses, but undermine our sovereignty. Those who claim otherwise need only to read the agreement. Caving into White House tweets and bribes, the Senate approved the Central American Free Trade Agreement, or CAFTA, on June 30th by a vote of 54 to 45. Deaf to the appeals of farmers, manufacturers, workers who have been devastated by previous trade agreements, and indifferent to the growing danger these pacts pose to U.S. sovereignty, President Bush pulled out all the stops in a major effort to ram CAFTA through the Senate before the July 4th recess. The Senate vote, hailed as a major victory for the president, came after months of bitter wrangling over several vote postponements. However, the relatively narrow margin of victory, one of the slimmest ever for a trade agreement, is a testament to the growing disenchantment with so-called free trade and globalization. On the same day that it had passed the Senate, CAFTA also was approved by the House Ways and Means Committee by a vote of 24 to 11, setting the pact up on a floor vote in the full House after Congress returns from recess on July 11th. And, of course, that already happened. The House fight, which is expected to be even closer and more hard-fought than the Senate battle, and the debate is going on right now, is seen by most analysts as too close to call. The Central American Free Trade Agreement proposes to expand NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, between U.S., Mexico, and Canada, to include Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. The Bush administration has been clear that it sees the CAFTA approval as essential to building momentum for approval of the free trade area of the Americas, which would include all the nations of our Western Hemisphere. And, of course, this is the American answer to the European Union, as they integrate these countries in. Ultimately, the Asian Union will be a reality, the European Union will be a reality, and, of course, we'll have the American Union, or the free trade area of the Americas. All of this is to erase the borders and create a one-world global system under the auspices of the United Nations. Most media accounts of the congressional CAFTA fracas give the false impression that the only significant opposition to the agreement comes from domestic sugar producers fearing an avalanche of cheap sugar from the Caribbean and Central America. The sugar beet lobby, a major source of campaign funds for both Republicans and Democrats, has indeed presented formidable resistance to CAFTA, pointing out that massive sugar imports would jeopardize more than 300,000 jobs in 19 states. However, an even larger number of textile jobs are at stake, as well as hundreds of thousands of other agricultural, manufacturing, and service jobs. The Bush administration wielded both the carrot and the stick approach to overcome this growing opposition and whip senators into the CAFTA corral. As the New York Times reported on July 1st, quote, after intense negotiations between White House officials and leading lawmakers, wavering Republicans settled for a modest extra precautions and heeded veiled warnings about reprisals to those who balked. To placate sugar producers, they continue, White House officials agreed to limit imports for another 2 years by paying Central American producers not to export to the United States. The United States would pay with surplus farm products accumulated through its other subsidy programs, unquote. The Bush and White House and its pro-CAFTA contingent in Congress have received indispensable support in the push for CAFTA from the Business Roundtable, the U.S. Chamber of Congress, and other industry groups dominated by corporate globalists associated with the Council on Foreign Relations. AT&T, the Bechtel Group, Coca-Cola, Ford Motor Company, Hewlett-Packard, Home Depot, IBM, Tyson Foods, and Xerox are but a few of the key corporate heavyweights propelling the CAFTA bandwagon. And, of course, these are all multinational corporations, ladies and gentlemen. As the multinational corporations promote cheap labor in order to stay competitive in this so-called global marketplace. I'm going to leave that right there. I don't have time to finish it as there's a lot of other things going on. But it's very important to let your congressman know, and I understand that calling Congress is a shot in the dark, as these critters seem to be bought and paid for. They don't seem to pay attention to what the American people say, but we still have to try. And the number to call Congress is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Call your representative and let them know that you do not want the Central American Free Trade Agreement passed. It's very important that you do so. 202-224-3121 or 202-225-3121. Moving along here, I see that the United Nations is having a high-level brainstorming workshop for MEAs, which is a multilateral environmental agreement beyond what they say is MDG 7. I'll cover this because nobody else is. This is dated July 13th to 14th, 2005. It says the high-level brainstorming workshop for multilateral environmental agreements on mainstreaming environment beyond MDG 7 took place from the 13th to the 14th of July, 2005, at the UN office in Kenya. The workshop was attended by over 40 participants representing MEAs, UN agencies, and other international organizations and civil society, organized by the United Nations Environment Programs Division of Environmental Conventions. The initiative Mainstreaming Environment Beyond MDG 7 focuses on the challenge of mainstreaming environmental issues from an MEA perspective and on providing inputs to the MDG process, possibly through the setting up of a plan of cooperation between the United Nations Environmental Program, MEAs, and the UN Millennium Project. Now, they go on a history of the Millennium Summit. They say a key element of the United Nations strategy to address global economic, social, and environmental challenges since the early 1990s has been the convening of UN conferences and summits. These events have resulted in the development of global plans of action to move the world towards a more sustainable future and have addressed a broad development agenda encompassing poverty reduction, social development, and environmental sustainability. The conferences of the 1990s addressed issues of children, environment and development, human rights, small island developing states, population and development, disaster reduction, social development, women, human settlements, and food security. The conferences and summits ushered in a period of heightened international commitment to poverty eradication and sustainable development. Of course, these are none of these things are things that you and I should be worried about, ladies and gentlemen. This is all stuff that other countries need to worry about because these are their problems. But under the United Nations Socialist Program, as redistribution of wealth is a reality and they take away from you to give to other countries, suddenly we're having to combat poverty in other countries. This is global socialism. The UN Millennium Summit was held from September 6th through the 8th of 2000 in New York. At the summit, world leaders agreed on a far-reaching plan to support global development objectives for the new century and reaffirmed their commitment to work toward a world of peace and security for all, giving sustainable development and poverty eradication the highest priority. The Millennium Declaration was agreed at the summit, outlined a clear set of responses to these challenges, and established concrete measures for judging performance through a set of interrelated commitments, goals, and targets on development, governance, peace, security, and human rights. The declaration addressed issues relating to fundamental values and principles, peace, security, and disarmament, development, and poverty eradication, the protection of the environment, human rights, democracy, and good governance. The needs of the most vulnerable were addressed, the special needs of Africa, for instance, and the strengthening of the United Nations. The declaration also made a strong commitment to eradicating poverty and securing sustainable development, and reaffirmed the UN as the accepted multilateral body for realizing the world's aspirations for peace and development. The Millennium Declaration goals were elaborated and developed into the Millennium Development Goals as contained in the September 2001 Secretary General's report on the roadmap towards the implementation of Millennium Development. The MDGs, which have become commonly accepted as a framework for measuring progress in development, comprise 8 goals, 18 targets, and 48 indicators. The 8 goals are: eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, achieve universal primary education, promote gender equality, and empower women, reduce child mortality by 2/3 for children under 5, improve maternal health, combat HIV/AIDS, combat malaria and other diseases, ensure environmental sustainability, and develop a global partnership for development. Following the Millennium Summit, review conferences were held on at least on the least developed countries. There were a conference on children in 2002, a conference on food in 2002 as well. Sustainable development was also held that year. Landlocked and transit developing countries in 2003, population and development in 2004, small island developing states, and of course, countries are referred to as states through the UN system, and that was held in 2005, disaster reduction in 2005, social development in that same year, and women in that same year. New UN conferences were also held on racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, and related intolerance. That was held in 2001. Are we xenophobic? Was that conference to address, to deal with us? That's the question that I ask. HIV and AIDS was held in 2001, financing for development in 2002, and the Information Society in 2003. This is ridiculous just how big this United Nations situation is, and yet most people are completely unaware that this is even going on. Pardon me while I got a drink of coffee here. I'm not going to continue with this because, frankly, it goes on forever. That's one thing the other side certainly can do, is produce documents, and they make no shortage of this. Now, I want to turn my attention here, or our attention, to something that was sent to me by Daniela. This is regarding the London attacks, the so-called terrorist attacks in London, which is undoubtedly a part of the Hegelian dialectic to get all those people on board. They felt that going to war in Iraq with the U.S. was something that Tony Blair shouldn't have promoted. And, of course, Tony Blair is a socialist, and all of this is a part of the whole globalization scheme. But there's been a lot of debate in Britain over the necessity of them joining the U.S. in this dog and pony show, this witch hunt in Iraq. And so this July 7th attack over there, I believe it, the purpose for it is to get them on board, is to let them know, or to convince them, that terrorism is really a threat to them. But we've covered in the past how Israel the Israeli prime minister, no, finance minister, excuse me, was warned in advance. And this article is from the Herald Sun. It says the Grand Eastern Hotel, which was hosting a conference on the Israeli economy, was evacuated. Israeli finance minister Benjamin Netanyahu was due to attend the conference, but had not arrived. A senior Israeli official said Scotland Yard told Israel minutes before the explosions that it had received warnings of possible terrorist attacks. Now, in the Stratfor Consulting Intelligence Agency, they published this piece dated July 7th. It says Israel warned the United Kingdom about possible attacks. And it says there has been massive confusion over a denial by the Israelis that the Scotland Yard had warned the Israeli embassy in London of possible terrorist attacks minutes before, quote-unquote, the first bomb went off on July 7th. Israel warned London of the attacks a couple of days ago, they say, a couple of days prior to the attacks. But British authorities failed to respond accordingly to deter the attacks, according to an unconfirmed rumor circulating in intelligence circles. While Israel is keeping quiet for the time being, British Prime Minister Tony Blair soon will be facing the heat for his failure to take action. It says the Associated Press reported July 7th that an anonymous source in the Israeli Foreign Ministry said Scotland Yard had warned the Israeli embassy in London of possible terrorist attacks in the UK, in the UK capital. The information reportedly was passed to the embassy minutes before the first bomb struck at 08:51 London time. The Israeli embassy promptly ordered Israeli Finance Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to remain in his hotel on the morning of July 7th. Netanyahu was scheduled to participate in an Israeli investment forum conference at the Grand Eastern Hotel, located next to Liverpool Street Tube Station, the first target in a series of bombings that hit London on July 7th. Several hours later, Israeli Foreign Minister Sylvain Shalom officially denied reports that Scotland Yard passed any information to Israel regarding the bombings, but British police denied that they had any advance warnings of the attacks. The British authorities similarly denied that any information exchange had occurred. Contrary to original claims that Israel was warned minutes before the first attack, unconfirmed rumors in intelligence circles indicate that the Israeli government actually warned London of the attacks a couple of days previous. Israel has apparently given other warnings about possible attacks that turned out to be aborted operations. The British government did not want to disrupt the G8 summit in Gleneagles, Scotland. And, of course, this buys into the notion that the British government is trying to do the right thing. When we know that after September 11th, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Blair came out in a speech televised in Britain and made the statement about September 11th that this is the moment to seize. The kaleidoscope has been shaken, and the pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us and use modern technology to provide prosperity for all. Now, there you have, and I have that speech in 911.sweetliberty.org if you would like to go and read it for yourself. But this is it's actually a news report which quotes Tony Blair from the speech. It's not the actual speech, but regardless, it doesn't matter. He made the statement that we're going to take this and we're going to use this, a terrorist attack, quote-unquote, as an opportunity. It was almost as if he was so jubilant that this thing had happened. And see, the point here is using crises to provide opportunity for them, it's something that's been going on all of our lives. And it continues to go on every single day, as crises can and is created for us, and they bring about their order out of the chaos that they create. Several hours later, Israeli Foreign Minister Sylvain Shalom officially denied the reports that Scotland Yard passed any information to Israel regarding the bombings and British police denied that they had any advance warnings of the attacks. The British authorities similarly denied that any information exchange had occurred. Well, folks, the bottom line is they can deny all they want. This is furthering the globalists' cause. And to that end, I'm going to skip down here as she sent me several articles. This is something from the Jerusalem Post. The headline is, Ex-Mossad chief calls for world war after London attack. Ex-Mossad chief calls for world war after London attack. Now, if this isn't the result of the Hegelian dialectic, I don't know what is. It says, rules of conflict for a world war. From the Jerusalem Post, July 7, 2005. The multiple simultaneous explosions that took place today on the London transportation system were the work of perpetrators who had an operational capacity of considerable scope. They have come a long way since the two attacks of the year 1998 against the American embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam and the aircraft actions of September 11th, 2001, which there's so much evidence that those were orchestrated by the spooks that control our government that we won't even get into that. They say there was careful planning, intelligence gathering, and a sophisticated choice of timing as well as near perfect execution. We are faced with a deadly and determined adversary who will stop at nothing and will persevere as long as he exists as a fighting terrorist force. One historical irony, and this person says, I doubt whether the planners knew that one of the target areas, that in Russell Square, was within a stone's throw of a building that served as the first headquarters of the World Zionist Organization that preceded the State of Israel. Did you hear that, folks? They say, this person says, I doubt whether the planners knew that one of the target areas, that in Russell Square, was within a stone's throw of a building that served as the first headquarters of the World Zionist Organization that preceded the State of Israel. It was 77 Great Russell Street that Dr. Chaim Weizmann, a renowned chemist, presided over the effort that culminated in the issuing of the Balfour Declaration, the first international recognition of the right of the Jewish people to a national home in what was then still a part of the Ottoman Empire. We are in the throes of a world war, the Jerusalem Post says, raging over the entire globe and characterized by the absence of lines of conflict and an easily identifiable enemy. There are sometimes long pauses between one attack and another, consequently creating the wrong impression that the battle is all over, or at least in the process of being won. Generally speaking, the populations at large are not involved in the conflict and by and large play the role of bystanders. But once in a while, these innocents are caught up in the maelstrom and suffer the most cruel and wicked punishments meted out by those who are not bound by any rules of conduct or any norms of structured society. I can't believe the first half hour is already gone, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to continue this on the other side of the break. And I hope to get into some China news as well tonight, but time is quickly fleeting away from us. You're listening to American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks. Stay with us as we have more of this piece from the Jerusalem Post on the other side of the break. So don't go anywhere, folks.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares? And are you also one that understands all the symbols in prophecy are defined accurately in all the books of the Bible? If so, then you are one that would be blessed by the Truth Provided broadcast. Please join us on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an adventure in Bible prophecy. See the prophecies of old come to light in today's current events as well as historic events in our not-so-distant past. You will find information in this broadcast that will benefit you and your family like never before. So please stop by Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the Truth Provided broadcast. For more information, stop by our website at www.remnantofgod.org.
American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks as we continue on here with this piece from the Jerusalem Post about how they're calling for World War III in response to the London attacks. This is, again, a piece that Daniela sent me. This is dated July 7th, the day of the bombings, and we'll continue here. They say, generally speaking, the populations at large. By the way, folks, if you want to call in, you're welcome to do so. 559-781-3773. I don't mind being interrupted. 559-781-3773 if you have any thoughts about anything we've addressed or some things that we haven't addressed. If you feel like there's something going on that's more important than what we're covering, listen, I'm open. 559-781-3773. Feel free to call in. We used to get phone calls. Be nice to get some again. 559-781-3773. As we continue here, it says, generally speaking, the population at large are not involved in the conflict, and by and large, they play the role of bystanders. But once in a while, these innocents are caught up in the maelstrom and suffer the most cruel and wicked punishments meted out by those who are not bound by any rules of conduct or any norms of structured society. For a while, too short a while, we are engrossed with the sheer horror of what we see and hear. But with the passage of time, our memories fade, and we return to our daily lives forgetting that the war is still raging out there, and more strikes are sure to follow. Now listen to the way they're talking here, folks, because they're outlining the point that we have to keep doing these acts of terrorism to keep the population scared. They're saying that the effects, we all should remember, we all should keep the reality in mind that there are targets painted on our backs. We should always stay in a state of fear. That's what Homeland Security is all about. They don't care about protecting the homeland. They don't care anything about protecting our borders. If they did, they'd have the military in this country and not on in 120 or 130 or I think it's even more now, countries around the world. Why do we not have our military here in this country? American with an ounce of brain should consider and stop and think for a minute that the fact of the matter is, if we really cared about protecting this country, we would have our military right here. We would have them protecting the borders. We would have our military bases here, not overseas. There's only one reason why we would have military bases overseas, and that's because we are the global cops for the United Nations system. There's just no other way around it. We're concerned about fighting poverty in Africa. We're concerned about building the infrastructure of other countries. And yet we're not the least bit concerned about a real act of terrorism here. Why is that? Well, because of those people who are making the policies are very well aware that there is no real terrorism. All of it's orchestrated. It's orchestrated by them for the purpose of keeping the population in fear and creating hate, which causes us to demand that they do something and get behind their actions of war and their never-ceasing efforts to overthrow governments that won't cooperate with the global plan of world domination under the auspices of the United Nations. It's very clear to those who do research and understand what's going on. They continue, they say, it cannot be said that 7 years after this war broke out in East Africa, we can see its conclusion. We are in for a long haul, and we must brace ourselves for more that will follow. The great wars of the 20th century lasted less than this war has already lasted, and the end is nowhere in sight. There will be supreme tests of leadership in this unique situation, and people will have to trust the wisdom and good judgment of those chosen to govern them. And by whom are those people chosen, I ask, as we have election fraud, which is rampant in the United States. We have Diebold and other companies that are controlling the numbers through computerized voting. The executives must be empowered to act resolutely and to take every measure necessary to protect the citizens of their country and to carry the combat into whatever territory the perpetrators and their temporal and spiritual leaders are inhabiting. The rules of combat must be rapidly adjusted to cater to the necessities of this new and unprecedented situation, and international law must be rewritten in such a way as to permit civilization to defend itself. Anything short of this invites disaster and must not be allowed to happen. All right, we have Tim in Texas. Tim, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Darren.
Hi.
Yeah, you do have some people out here listening.
Well, that's good to know. How have you been doing?
Oh, no major complaints. Just wanted to let you know we're out here listening. I appreciate the heck out of the information.
Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you're doing down there, trying to wake up people about Agenda 21.
Yeah, that's the purpose of life, and that and music at this point.
Well, it's
was that Miss Loretta you started your broadcast with?
Actually, no, it was Tanya Tucker.
It was Tanny, okay.
I picked up the
flat top and throwed the capo up on about the fourth fret and played along, and gee, it sounded just wonderful to me. I was having a good old time.
Uh-huh.
Good choice of music.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing a great job, man, and you got listeners, and I really do sincerely applaud you for your work with the websites. It's incredible, and man, to work a job and do what you do on the side, you're a real fighter for our country, and I wish we had more like you, man.
Well, I appreciate it, and I wish there were others to help, but, you know, we do what we can with the time that we have.
Right.
And kind of spread ourselves pretty thin, but, you know, the archives of American Exposé need to be updated, and I understand there's probably people out there wondering what's going on, and we're going to get to that as well.
Well, good night. I mean, come on, there's only so much you can do, Darren. Gosh.
But we appreciate the fact that you're out there, and this thing is huge, isn't it?
It's all encompassing, and we've got people living right in Austin that have these so-called, I guess you would call them, Patriot radio broadcasts, and
mm-hmm.
Nobody seems to know about Agenda 21 down here, and they never talk about it.
Now, it's like Chris said, it's the biggest secret known to man.
Yet it's every day's newspaper.
Yeah, it's incredible that these cities are being revitalized all across the country right now. I saw a piece from Henry Lamb I was going to share on the broadcast, and I didn't think about it before we started, but... This revitalization process is going on all over these cities to make room for sustainable housing.
Right.
You know, and I think the Supreme Court decision, that's the reason that had to happen, because there's too many people that would have challenged these things, and now they can just come in and say, well, we got to have your property, you know.
We're going to take this 300 acres, and we're going to build 900 homes on it. And each
mm-hmm.
home is going to be worth $250,000. And that adds a heck of a lot more than a 300-acre cow pasture.
Absolutely.
To their, you know, to their tax coffers. That is all this is about. You, I, and everybody else in this deal knows about it. You know, knows what the deal is.
It's just amazing that we're, that every aspect of our lives is being controlled and orchestrated. You know, and most people, from cradle to grave, this goes on throughout their whole lives, and they never get an inkling that it's happening. But the thing that concerns me, Tim, is the fact that Americans are going along through their daily lives like they always have, and they think that this is all going to just keep going the way it is. I was talking to Chris last night. We're approaching an $8 trillion national debt in this country. We have budget deficits of record proportions. Bankruptcies are at an all-time high. You know, people are really having the hurt put on them, and yet everyone seems to somehow think that, well, you know, we've had depressions or recessions in this country, and, you know, the economy's bad right now, but, you know, it'll turn around, and, you know, they think it's going to have a rebound. They put the orchestration, they put the building blocks in place for this thing. I don't think it's not ever going to turn around. How are you going to have it turn around when you have a situation where we have all these trade agreements which have caused the mass exodus of our jobs? You know, you have all these unemployed people everywhere. They're going to starve us off of our own land.
That's what they're trying to do. And it's tyrannical. It's illegal. It's unlawful, I guess you should say. It's
mm-hmm.
it's just downright criminal.
So, I see the only solution to this as waking up massive amounts of people as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope people are taping programs and spreading the information around. You know.
Day before yesterday, Darren, I was up in the grocery store, and I always carry a silver dollar and a silver half dollar in my pocket, always.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it a point to pull this out in lines at the grocery store. And this guy in front of me at the grocery store, he was from England, and of course, that real silver always strikes up a conversation, and immediately I somehow find myself talking about our rights and the loss of them, and he looked at me and he says, "This is Russia."
He said what?
He said, "This is Russia."
This is Russia.
Yeah. He said, I went when I told him the part of the decision of this this CAPTA thing is for vitamins and minerals. He said I just love to listen to those people talk. The accent is great. He told me as he had been over to see his father. His father had been ill, and the doctors in England now can't even write prescriptions for antibiotics. His doctor was sick with a cold or something, or some kind of infection or something, and he could not get antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. But, you know, it's the same thing. They can outlaw whatever they want to outlaw, and if it's vitamins and supplements like it is, and from what I can tell, is they're trying to put into CAPTA.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that's my understanding.
Man, that's insane. There.
And why would they want to outlaw vitamins, Tim?
So they could regulate and tax the heck out of you and let you die of the poisons that they're feeding you in your water and your food, man. You know that.
There you go. I know, we're saying that for the benefit of the listeners, though.
I bet the people listening to you know all about that stuff.
Well, and see, that's the problem. Is in many respects we're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah, you're right.
But the choir, I guess, needs to keep hearing it, and so do other people. And then the choir goes out and preaches to other people. I hope.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we're all doing this. It's, you know.
Nobody can afford to keep their mouth shut that knows the truth in this day and age, can they?
Well, if you do. You're part of the problem.
Agreed.
And if you open your mouth too much and you get taken out for it, well, I believe if that happens, then you just beat everybody else home.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I think I would just about rather be taken out than to live under a communist regime, you know. Knowing like we do what the United Nations has orchestrated under the banner of sustainable development, they're going to restrict us to the point where you will have no wiggle room whatsoever. And life is not going to be enjoyable at all under this new system.
No.
You know, I mean, they're going to create shortages, you know, because, I mean, I remember reading on this broadcast an article. About half of you, I think this is about around Thanksgiving time, half of U.S. food goes to waste. And they're talking about how the food that we waste in America, and we do waste a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, they're saying that this food is going into the landfills and is creating a huge environmental disaster. But how are you going to stop waste? The only way to stop waste is by creating shortages. You know, any time you have enough of something, you're going to have some waste.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that these people want to control it all, including your food. You know, and as long as Americans are comfortable enough to be able to have their burgers and fries and, you know, their barbecues and...
And their six-packs and...
Yeah, their six-packs and the football and everything that goes along with it. You know, I mean, they don't care. They don't care. It's only when it starts to affect them in their most intimate ways, and this agenda will affect them in the most intimate way.
Oh, yeah. Just wait. Just wait. They're going to be screaming, God, we should listen to those people.
Yeah, yeah. People suddenly all those nutcases, those conspiracy kooks, you know.
They've been trying to tell us this for years.
Yeah.
Well... It's going to be too late then, ladies and gentlemen, so get out your checkbooks and support the networks. That's all I can say.
Amen.
God bless you, Darren. I appreciate your info and your shows, man.
Hey, I appreciate you, too, and keep doing what you can and keep up the good work. And
We're gonna have a CD done pretty soon. We're going to have a CD to peddle on the website, so you'll be one of the first to get one.
All right, I appreciate that. God bless, brother.
You too, my friend.
All right. Talk to you later. All right, folks. We've got about, 8 minutes left. Maybe I'll cover the China information on Friday's broadcast. I appreciate people who call in and interact, and it certainly makes things more interesting, and kind of get tired of hearing myself talk sometimes. But continuing on here with this Jerusalem Post article, talking about the London attacks on July 7th. It says, "It will show no mercy or compassion and no appreciation for these noble values when practiced by us."
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Okay, we...
If you need help,
some interference,
hang up
there,
and then dial your operator.
Nicholas will take care of that here in just a
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try
and
again.
And render it a relic of the past. It
hang up and then dial your operator.
Victory or a regime
like to make
change.
A call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your
operator. He wants to turn Western civilization into history, and will stop at nothing less than that. It will show no mercy or compassion or no appreciation for these noble values when practiced by us. They're talking about the global threat of terrorism. This does not mean that we can or should assume the norms of our adversaries, nor that we should act indiscriminately. It does mean that the only way to ensure our safety and security will be to obtain the destruction, the complete destruction of the enemy. Now, who is the enemy in this war on terror? I ask, and the only answer that you can come up with is anybody that doesn't go along with the plan for world domination, folks. As George W. Bush, who's a shill for the New World Order, he's just following orders, but he has come out and said, either you're with us or you're with the terrorists. Now, what does he mean by that? Who's us? Are we talking about the United Nations? Are we talking about the globalist spooks? Much has been said in recent years about the vital need for international cooperation. There is no doubt that this is essential. Yet no measure of this will suffice, and it cannot replace the requirement that each and every country effectively declare itself at war with international Islamist terror and recruit the public to involve itself actively in the battle under the direction of the legal powers that be. In other words, you're going to have to spy on all of your neighbors. LB from Wisconsin, welcome to the broadcast.
Good evening there, Darren. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. We talked before. I'm a friend of Chris's. I was on his show a couple times. I'm the author of the Red Amendment. I don't know if you've read it, but
I don't believe so. But
anyway, I just sent you an article. It was entitled "Charges Dropped for Undocumented Soldier in Austin."
Uh huh.
It was about a woman. I guess she stole the identity via a Social Security card, and you know, she joined the military and, you know, after all was said and done, she was okay. She was an illegal immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
All she didn't commit any fraud was what the United States said. She committed no fraud, even though she was an illegal alien and stole someone's identity. But because she was fighting for the New World Order, it's okay.
She was fighting the New World Order?
Fighting for the New World Order.
Oh, I see.
Or, you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. She was working for the other side, in other words.
No, she was working for the New World Order.
Right.
So, you know, her fraud was excused.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I sent it via email. You should have gotten it. I don't know if you're in front of your computer, but you might want to read it.
Yeah, well, I've got 237 messages right now. It's incredible. You go a few days without checking your email, and boy, those things pile up fast.
Yeah, I get about 140 a day. 90% of them are garbage. But.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate. And see, once again, that fits into the Hegelian dialectic too, because they're using this spam problem, which has gotten out of control, as a reason to try to give the control of the internet over to the UN now. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yes, spam, pornography, and, you know, various other things that have been allowed to get out of control, probably on purpose. You know, the UN is going to come to the rescue of that as well. But
Well, I feel better now then. Yeah. I'm being sarcastic.
The reality is they have to deal with us, don't they?
Yep. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can.
Sorry about that. My mic was down. Anyway, no, what I was saying about that article, if you missed it, because I probably couldn't be heard, this illegal immigrant came from Mexico, which you know is a problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she stole someone's identity via a Social Security number.
Oh, I see.
You know, the military hired her, and she went over to the, Iraq and fought in the war, and she was excused of any wrongdoing, even though she wasn't a so-called citizen of the United States and, legal. But because she was fighting for the New World Order, everything's peachy keen.
Yeah, they take care of their own.
They do, and as long as, they're getting their way, everything's okay.
It's just amazing to me how many people are on the payroll of the other side, you know?
Yes.
I mean, anybody can go and put an Agenda 21 in the search engine and see how many hits they have. And all of these non-governmental organizations come up, and all of these people are working for the other side, and I wonder how many of them know just how bad it's going to be.
Well, it's going to be bad when the Judgment Day comes.
Yeah. Well, Judgment Day is going to come here on Earth as well.
Yes.
You know, there's an old saying that says, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it.
Right. I agree.
And, so that's a real problem. But thanks for... I'll certainly
keep,
look for
keep
that
up
email.
The good work with Chris's site and all, you know. That's a lot of work, so...
Yeah, well, I appreciate Dennis as well. We can't forget him. He keeps the latest news and information going. He does his research and posts the result of that on the website, and that provides fresh content for people to keep coming back. And it's a team effort.
Sure.
And we're certainly always looking for others to join the team. And anybody who's interested in doing that can get a hold of me.
Yeah, what's your web address again?
Well, it's on the front of the website, AmericanExpose.com.
Okay.
My web address or my email address?
No, your web address.
You got it
linked on American Expo.
Yeah, all of that is under my personal website is under the partner site, and then my email address is on the front page, I think right beside that.
Okay, great.
So
I haven't been there in a while, so.
Yeah, I appreciate
good
you
luck.
Calling in though.
You bet.
And
God bless your work, sir.
All right, hey, God bless, man. Have a good night.
You too.
Folks, we have to go. We're out of time. We'll continue some of this information on Friday's broadcast. I hope to get into the China information on Friday. Appreciate the participation from those of you folks out there. It's good to hear from you folks. We have to go, though. We're out of time. Chris will be back tomorrow. I'll be back Friday, as I think I'll have more time this week to produce a show on Friday. Thanks for being with us. God bless you folks, and do what you can to restore this republic. It's worth fighting for. Freedom is the most important thing in the entire world. Without it, life is not worth living. We cannot ever forget that. God bless you folks, and have a good night.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab.